All right, good evening. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. And we're looking at the last two verses of chapter 20. If you found your place in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, the Bible here says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Let's pray. Father God, I just pray that you direct my thoughts and words, Lord, that you would increase our faith, that we would recognize these infallible proofs, Lord, that we can have a strong faith in thee and in the truth of thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I titled the message tonight, "The Rest of the Story." For those of you who knew, Paul Harvey always would do that on the radio. You know, he would give a long-winded discussion typically about something that seems totally unrelated, and then the rest of the story there, and then he would tie it back to something that was very, very well known. And so that just made me think of this. As we look at this, just a short passage of Scripture, and, you know, I'll try and be direct with it tonight because, you know, as I looked at this, I thought, well, I could roll it into the next chapter and we'll talk about it all together. But I thought it's good to just focus on this on its own because... again, this is just another thing that, having read through the book of John over 17 years, many, many times, I just never really just sat there and just looked at these two verses on their own and just dwelt on it and let it soak in what he's saying here. And so I just want to give you a sense of that tonight as we think about what is being said here, and that it would just be an encouragement. And so he has just relayed to us here in John 20 this instance of Christ appearing, post-resurrection appearance of Christ to the disciples minus Thomas, and then 8 days later to the disciples yet again, and also to Thomas. And we talked about that last time, how that, you know, God had compassion on Thomas not having the benefit of the things that the disciples had seen. And he wasn't there. He missed out. We don't know why he missed out, but he did. And so God had compassion on him for that and gave him the opportunity there to have that same confidence that they had. And so then we see John adding in after this, really the first two that we know of, you know, well, and I should say, like, authored here, but Mary Magdalene, of course, saw him, right? And then he appeared to the disciples here. And so he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." And so many other signs. We see in the Gospels a number of things that happens post-resurrection, and they're amazing. But John here is assuring us that there was much more. Like, he's saying many other signs, right? Not a few other, not a handful of other, many other signs. Truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So again, he's not doubling up. He's not talking about anything he's already talked about. This is stuff that he hasn't talked about. And so there was more that he could say. There were things that he saw. And again, you know, this is John. And, you know, we're getting into it in 1 John, in our morning service last week, where, if I can just quickly go there, where he's saying, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. And so these are things that he saw that were also miraculous, just as miraculous as the things that we see written in the book, yet not chosen for inclusion in the scriptures by the will of God. And so also when we think of the context of this, because this isn't the only place where John says this, and you know, we're going to shortly get there in chapter 21, but here in 20, when he says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. The signs that he's talking about, there are some people that'll take this passage and look at it at the time period of his entire life and ministry. I don't believe that's the case for this passage. I believe he does cover that in John 21, 25, where he says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written at the end of the book. You know, and so here, though, because he says in the presence of his disciples, which really, when we look at other scriptures, these were the things that happened post-resurrection, where he appeared to his disciples. And so it's based on the immediate context of the text, which is these first post-resurrection appearances in the presence of his disciples. Just as we see in Acts chapter 10 here, in giving testimony of Christ, Acts chapter 10, verse 40 and following, it says, him God raised up the third day, so this is talking about Christ, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And so, you know, many of his post-resurrection appearances are, we see them in scripture reference. And I think sometimes, again, as we get reading through the scriptures, we read along and read past, and we think that they're talking about the stuff that we've read about. Because these many appearances are referenced, but they're not recorded. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As Paul here gives what we like to call sometimes the gospel in a nutshell, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and following, it says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. And so he's naming all these, you know, all these instances, and not every single one of these is locked down in the Gospels. And so we know he's talking about more events that happen. Luke also, in the book of Acts, talks about this. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 1, at the beginning here, and we believe that, you know, or it's historically believed that Luke is the author of the book of Acts, that Acts is really a continuation of Luke. It's almost like Luke A and B. And so here we see written, it says this in Acts 1:1 and following, it says, the former treaties I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And then here in verse 3 he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. And the passion, that's the crucifixion. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I mean, what would you give to have that series? Hey? Like, that just gives me goosebumps. It's like the road to Emmaus. What would you give to be just there, fly on the wall, and to just hear him expound all the way through the scriptures, pointing to himself? There's a lot there. And so it says then, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so he's foreshadowing the events of Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion. And so what I'm dialing in here on is verse 3, where again, Luke here is saying, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And so we don't see that many things recorded in Scripture. There are, you know, and I didn't take the time to add them up and give you the number, because it's, you know, it's not 30 things, you know, it's, we're, and yet we got 40 days here. And so Acts tells us there were many infallible proofs, which makes sense when you think that there were 40 days of ministry with the resurrected Christ that they had. And I think, and again, I don't want to speculate. I was joking with Sarah, you know, when I was preparing. I said, oh, well, you know, it's this is one of those where it says many other things, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And I say, oh, well, look, I can just spend the whole time speculating about what he did. You know, 45 minutes of speculation. No, we don't need to speculate about what he did, but we can be assured that 40 days, they were not wasted days. Did we see throughout his entire ministry in all four Gospels that we've gone through where Jesus was just wasting time? No, he was about his Father's business. He was preaching the kingdom of God. You know, even when he had, you know, it was a rare thing for him to have his disciples to come away into a wilderness place where they could rest. And still, he continued to teach and encourage. And so, they weren't wasted days, but they were designed to strengthen the disciples as they went out into the world, as he said, sheep among the wolves, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He was sending them out, and they were going to go forth. That gospel seed that was sown in their own hearts was going to go forth and give 30 and 60 and 100-fold out into the world. We were going to see that tiny seed grow to a great giant tree. And so he is giving them solid, factual information. He is strengthening their faith and giving them infallible proofs. See, that's the thing about Thomas. He gave him an infallible proof. He showed up and said, they're right here. You can touch them. He was wiping away all doubt, and he was successful. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And again, we talked about this last time, but that was Thomas's wish. He wasn't hoping to get an out so that he could leave this band of, you know, the way, right? No, he wanted in. He wanted to know, this is real. This has got to be real. Is it real? Jesus, it's real. Take a look. just as he did for John the Baptist. It's real. And so he was strengthening these disciples because they're going out into the world to preach the gospel and ultimately to give their lives. Only John did not die of martyrdom. They tried. They boiled him in oil, exiled him on the Isle of Patmos. And yet the Lord spared him. The Lord had a purpose for him. And he gave them that. He gave him that vision that we now see in Scripture as the revelation. And so he is solidifying them. Just as Peter said, and Brother Ron, I was like, oh, what a nice dovetail. Brother Ron brought this out in the Sunday school. You know, it's good to be here for all three services because you might just find all those things coming together. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 16 and following, it says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And so he is saying that, so he's writing this post-ascension. He's experienced all of this. He has a confidence that is so ferociously settled, he will not be moved. Quite different to the Peter that we saw leading up to the crucifixion, isn't it? Yeah. Why? Many infallible proofs. Many, many things. We even just see the things that we see and we go, whoa, that's a lot. It was many more than that these men had. And they were certain. They were so certain. Every one of them, save John, gave their life. And John, I dare say, willingly would have done so. And so I'm hammering down on this because I want us to have confidence. You know, there's so much more. Christ's ministry is not 100% contained in these pages. We are given enough to know who he is and what he did and why he did it. Everything God needs us to know. But I'm saying, if you're thinking that that the evidences were scant, or that like this is all there is, we know from the Scriptures that that's not all there was. There was so much more. Does it make sense why, there was nobody that could refute these witnesses? That's why this, you know, God has preserved his word, but the strength of these witnesses stood. Who could speak against what was known? They couldn't do it. And so, unlike the cults and miracle chasers that we see today, where it's some sketchy, you know, oh, I saw the face of Mary and a piece of burnt toast, and they start a whole doctrine on that. Like, what is that? You know, oh, I heard a voice. I was in the wilderness and I heard a voice. And they start a whole religion. Unlike those people who base their false ideas on dubious, rare experiences, these men had an abundance of verifiable, miraculous evidences in common. They were there. They were all there. You know, do my eyes deceive me? Did you see what I saw? Yeah. Yes. You know, even as Thomas. Look, the Lord's alive. Unless I see it. And he saw it. They had this common experience that was, again, it was in keeping with what God had already, you know, as we said, all the prophets, to him give all the prophets witness. And so these could see all of that pointing to Christ, and they saw it all fulfilled in him, and their eyes were open. And so they went forth and did the work of the ministry. They submitted themselves to the Holy Ghost. And we see that in the book of Acts. So exciting. These men just completely dying to themselves. Because they had that confidence in God. They weren't relying on themselves. They were dead to themselves. They saw the power and majesty of God and knew that's the power. That's the ability. It's not me. It's Him. They had that confidence through these many infallible proofs. And so I want to encourage you in that. You know, as I dwelt upon this, it was really overwhelming to really think that, you know, it's so much deeper than this. Even these things that give me confidence that God is true, it's even deeper than that. And it made me see the apostles and these disciples in a new light. That they just, I mean, you know, for us, we having not, again, whom having not seen, I love. But I look at these men just standing just absolutely rock solid on what they know. They know. It's knowledge, right? They're acting on knowledge and moving forward. And so it's encouraging to my faith as I think about how they stepped out then and just preached so boldly. When they saw Peter and John, ignorant and unlearned men, they took note that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Him. I mean, no question. It was unequivocal that these men had experienced the power of the gospel and seen the Savior and knew that it was real and walked and talked, and everything about them was of the reality of the gospel. And so that ought to be an encouragement to us. Like, is it real? And I mean, we call ourselves believers for that reason. We believe. But I just think that when we're certain, then we act differently. It shows in our behavior. It reflects in our life. You know, those that he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We understand we've been washed in the sinless blood of Jesus Christ, but we know it's real. And we act according to that reality. And it makes a difference in our lives. And so just as there are only a certain number of things here in Scripture that we can look at, yet we know there's much more. It made me just look in the mirror and, you know, if you think about how God has worked in your life, I believe it's more abundant than maybe what your eyes are seeing or what you're remembering. You know, as I began to dwell on that, you know, you could just pick one thing that proves God is working in your life. You know, and I could tell you things. I could tell you about answered prayer, you know, that to me is miraculous. And a number of you brothers have heard some of those things that God has done, you know, for me that has really strengthened my faith. You know, but that's just one thing. But when I really think about it, over 17 years, I mean, and every year, and every month, and all the time, God is working. And even today, you know, I get a random phone call from some guy. And it's just like, what is this? It's an emergency. Like, I need you to go get $500 out of your bank account and, like, give it to me and I'll wire you the money. And it just sounds so sketchy. All of you right now are thinking exactly what I was thinking. I guarantee it, because that's where I was at. And I'm just saying, Lord, just quell my fleshly cynicism. And let me just play this out. And I'm like, I'm even telling you, I'm 95% sure this is not going to happen. And we're driving away and it's like, oh, well, I sent the money and... But it takes 30 minutes to clear it. It's like, I do this all the time. It's instantaneous. Like, I'm like, this guy is, you know, and it's like, but okay, I'm going to wait it out. We'll wait the 30. We'll start going that way. And at least if it goes, then I could be in Beaver Lodge and maybe I could whip around because he's in Wembley and this whole thing. And, you know, long story, I could tell you the backstory. But suffice it to say, just before I get to the approach to turn off to Wembley, bing, there it is. There it is. Oh, look at that. Yeah, this guy is legitimately a traveler on his way to Whitehorse that is stranded and is reaching out to people he doesn't know, and he sent an auto deposit into a complete stranger's bank account. That's how desperate he was for help. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know that we're just a bunch of scam artists. He went, Harvest Baptist Church, I'm calling that number because I need help. And God just like, okay, you're in. And I roll in there. And I mean, I see this guy go in and I get the money together and then I come out and this man's standing there and we had a brief discussion and I said, I'm, you know, looking for so-and-so, Mr. Ross. And yeah, that's me. And so we have a conversation. I said, you realize how crazy this seems? And he's like, yeah, no, I know. He's like, you can see, like, there's just tears welling up in his eyes. And I said, you know, it's the only reason I'm here is because of the gospel. Like, the Lord just impressed upon my heart not to be cynical about this and to just let it play out. And I said, you know, there's just something you need to know. Give him a John and Romans and just explain. I said, I just give him a brief testimony and said, you know, look, the Lord saved me. And I just would not want to turn away. You know, I want to be that one that finds that man on the wayside in the ditch and provides that aid. And I said, and that's because Jesus has worked in my heart. And I said, you need to take a look at this. And then we get in and we go on our way and carry on our day. Again, I believe God, that was just a divine opportunity, like just a divine appointment that God had there. And there's so much of that. If we open our eyes and are open to what God wants to do, many, many times in our lives, He gives us those clear, unmistakable markers that I am real. As Job, you know, he is on the right hand where I cannot behold him, and he's on the left where I cannot perceive him. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so, just to have confidence, God is working in your life. If you're sensitive to it, you will see that there are many, many ways that God is working in your life, and he will strengthen your faith. That's his desire. Christ's desire here was to give great strength and confidence to these that were going to step out. And what strength and confidence? In him. In him. God still wants to do that today. Blessed are they who, having not seen, have believed. So there's a great blessing for us if we'll just submit and put aside the fleshly everything. Just die to yourself and allow him to work. And he says here, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And so the Holy Spirit, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in their wisdom, you know, not all the miracles are written down. And I say that's more evidence that this is of God and not of men. You know, if this was just the document of men, there would be, I'll suggest to you, copious notes and additional witness statements and an entire library of every scrap to bolster their case. Yet, the Holy Spirit chose not to have that included. Again, a man-centered work. Because you look at the man's religions that we see, and their evidences are highly dubious, and yet everything they've got, they put out there, you know? In this, there's a withholding there, and I say the Holy Spirit chose not to have them included, so we must conclude this is sufficient. It says here, but these are written. So there's many other things, but these are written. Why? Because we don't need to know every single thing that Jesus did. But we need to understand that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, the goal here, the overarching objective, and really the objective of the entire Gospel of John is that believing you might have life through his name. And so we need to conclude that this evidence that's provided is sufficient. And I say he added, you know, the Holy Ghost inspired these words, Because it does weigh on what we know. That we're getting a snapshot, but there was much, much more to the story. And so, but I believe is that it wouldn't be of confidence in men and in their testimonies, but it would be by faith. That it's by faith. And so there's more than enough here to believe in Jesus Christ by faith. There's more than enough here to verify his character, the manifestation of his holiness. We see it. The manifestation of his sinlessness. Again, he didn't just go and live a sinless life and therefore then became declared sinless. He was born sinless. He came with no sin and then manifested it forth. And they give witness to that. And so we need to conclude that this is sufficient. And if this was not sufficient for us, more would not make a difference. And so, yeah, this Bible could be this much thicker. But if not by faith, it's all just a word salad. Because it's by faith. This is enough for you to look to Christ by faith. And so I just want to challenge you. If you're here and you're still waffling between two opinions, is he real, is he not real? The whole point of this is that you would see Christ for who he is. The Savior. God in the flesh. Who gave his life for you to save you from your sins. That you would look to him in faith. Look away from yourself and what you can do. And look to what Christ has done for you. That you can be saved. Because if you'll not believe this record, no amount of additional evidence is going to make a difference. And you may be destined to be one of those miracle chasers. And guess what? It'll never be enough. I think of the rich man looking across that great gulf fixed between him and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he's calling out. He's already lived his life of unbelief and died in his unbelief. And it's interesting to me that he suddenly becomes a fervent evangelist when he is suffering in the torment of hell. He says in Luke 16:27, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." Send Lazarus to my father's house. He says, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he say, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." That's so chilling to me, because one did rise from the dead. He said, "This wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign shall be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For even as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so Jesus Christ would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." That's what you're going to get. Right here, Jesus is the Christ. These men had those infallible proofs, and they preached them that truth. If we will not hear them, these are the prophets. These apostles, again, all they saw, it says, "To him," that is Christ, "give all the prophets witness," all pointing to Christ, and all these disciples, they saw him in the flesh. They give witness of who he is. And it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit that you also can have a confident and steadfast hope that as these men had that confidence that they loved not their lives unto the death, they gave their lives for the cause of Christ. That's how confident they were, that we can have that same confidence. Just as the many martyrs over the centuries who have looked to Christ in faith and suffered innumerable horrors, knowing the truth. And so if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And so I want to encourage you and admonish you. I want to encourage you, if you're trusting in Christ today, that your faith would grow as you think about how much more there is. And I'm just looking forward to getting that rest of the story. It's going to be so exciting. I'm already excited about it. As I learn more in the scriptures, as I grow in the scriptures and learn more and see, you know, how the, I'll say it this way, as the Bible becomes smaller, as I see the overlapping themes and figures, and it's so, and it's just clearer and clearer and clearer, there's still a lot of things that are hard to be understood. And I'm just excited for that day when God is just going to wipe away all that fogginess, and we are going to know as we are known. And it's all going to be so clear, so exciting. And yet, with what we know, we can preach truth, and people's lives can be changed eternally. They can pass from death into life if they'll only, again, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. If you're here and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's desire for you is that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is your Messiah, the Savior, that he has come to save you from your sins, to give his own life a sacrifice on your behalf because you deserve to die because of your sin. And yet he took that on himself. He died in your place, and you need only look to him in faith and trust it. Receive that free gift, freely given to you, yet paid for at great expense, with God, the death of God's only Son. Receive it and have life through his name. Please, don't wait another day. As we said this morning, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We just saw a tornado rip through a town and kill 70 people. Boom. Just like that, they're stepped into eternity. You know, Sarah just about got rear-ended and got swept off the road. And praise God, you know, into a shallow ditch. But we never can guarantee that we're going to make it back to our home when we leave this place. We can never guarantee that when we pillow our head at night that we're going to open our eyes the next morning. It's only by the grace of God. And so don't presume upon his patience for you. We don't know what day is our last day. And so my encouragement is understand the veracity, the truth of these witnesses, and look to him in faith. And if you will, he says, all that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He can and he will save you if you look to him. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to look into these verses, and how encouraging to know that there is so much more. And it's exciting to know that these men got to see these wonderful things, and it made them just absolutely as bold as a lion in thy power, preaching thy gospel, so much so that they didn't fear when they were beaten by the soldiers. They didn't fear when the governments of that day threatened them with death and with beating and with imprisonment. Yet they took all of that, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. Lord, that we would have that faith also, that we would not be moved, but that we would just simply walk in thy love, walk in fellowship with thee day by day, that we would be sensitive to what you're doing, that we would see the divine appointments that you've set up, that we would see the open doors of witness that you've opened, that we might die to ourselves and allow thee to speak through us, that the Holy Ghost would give us utterance of the truth, and that we would speak according to what we know is right from thy word. Lord, we pray that you would do your work in our hearts, that we would just have that confidence and live each day in that. Lord, that if we are living in fear and anxiety, that we would confess that to you, that we would cast all our care upon you and just have confidence in thee, that you can wipe away all of those fears, all of our anxiety, and we can just walk in confidence, walk in thy power. You have given us not the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And so, Lord, that we can walk soberly and be used for thy glory. Lord, we just pray that you would bless in the week to come, just direct our steps, that we can come through this week and be rejoicing in thy goodness and in how you've chosen to use us, these clay vessels in thy hand. Lord, we love you tonight and pray, dismiss us now with thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks for your time. Lord willing, see you Wednesday night. God bless.